Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah. Woo!
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Cognitive Recalibration Podcast, as always.
Woo!
I'm your host, Shravan.
We're really excited.
Yeah, we're really excited about this one. We've got Taran sitting here opposite me.
I'm not that excited.
You're not as excited because you just had your COVID.
I'm sick, yeah.
Booster.
Yep. Yeah. Just not actual COVID, just the booster.
And we've got a special guest with us, a returning guest. A guest that we always get on for Spider-Man related episodes.
What's up?
This is too much energy. I don't know what to do with this. Yeah.
He's compensating for your lack of energy, yep. So it's kind of evened out. Kiriti, welcome.
Thanks, man.
People are going to listen to that first 5 minutes and they're going to be like, this isn't for me.
Your ratings are going to go down. Yeah.
They've got ratings on Spotify now for podcasts.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think they recently introduced it. But yeah, rate us on Spotify.
Yep. After. Not based off that.
So this episode, it's an episode we've been waiting for a long time. Spider-Man No Way Home. So we watched it opening night, and then I watched it again a couple of days ago. And then you've seen it twice?
I've seen it twice. I watched it Monday night and with you guys
opening night.
Thursday night.
Yeah.
It wasn't opening night. Wednesday was opening night.
Oh, yeah. Technically it was.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, Australian opening
like
night.
Like 12.
It was actually midnight.
Yeah.
So we didn't go to the midnight screenings. That would have been off the hook if we went to that.
I don't know if I can do midnight screenings. I feel like I'll just be too tired.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I actually worked the next day, so.
Yeah. Wouldn't have been anyway we could have done it. Okay, so we'll get into our review. So we'll do it in a normal fashion. So I'll talk about a bit of the background. We've got to talk about the box office for this movie because it's doing some amazing stuff.
Wait, one thing. You said we've been waiting for it for a long time. Have we?
We have.
But like in the span of like Marvel movies, like there was after Endgame, I didn't realize this until the other day, but after Endgame, there was another Spider-Man movie like fairly soon after.
A couple of months after.
And then like how long has it been? 1.5 years? 2 years?
2 years. So that was 2019.
Not that long between Spider-Man movies, is it?
Yeah, it's a pretty small gap. It's not huge, given COVID as well.
Yeah. So this was not delayed. This was actually one of the movies that wasn't delayed due to COVID. So it actually came out when it was meant to come out. But waiting a long time in the sense that stuff that happens in the movie. We waited for it. Yeah, we waited. We waited the appropriate amount of time for it.
Yeah.
I won't say waited a long time for it.
Yeah.
Glad I had that clarified.
Now we've really lost the audience. So we're going to go through the background and then we're going to talk about a little bit about the comic book origins. I just wanted to mention something about Spider-Verse. And then we'll go into positives and negatives, spoiler-free. So all this first section, we won't be getting into any spoilers. And then we'll have our full spoiler section, which we'll devote most of our time for because we've got a lot to discuss in spoilers. So quick background, it's directed by John Watts, who directed the first two Spider-Man movies, Spider-Man in the MCU movies.
Yeah.
You're a fan of him?
He obviously likes him.
I thought he did a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah. He does a good job. I don't think
he gave him a standing ovation. Not a standing. Let's just say it's standing. No one can see him anyway. Gave him a standing ovation here.
I don't think he's like the most like...
Shut up, man.
Creative. John Watts. Anyway, we'll get into it. We'll get into my thoughts on him. Obviously starring Tom Holland, Zendaya, all of the returning cast from the previous Spider-Man movies. And then there's... I don't think this is a spoiler to say that some of the villains from the other Spider-Man movies are in this movie.
I guess in the non-spoiler, we can talk about the stuff in the trailer.
Yeah.
So anything in the trailer, if you don't want to know anything, if you don't want to know anything, then I guess.
If you haven't seen any of the trailers as well,
then don't listen to this. Yeah.
But by this stage, I think anyone that really wants to watch this movie probably would have watched it.
Given the box office numbers, a lot of people have watched this movie.
Benedict Cumberbatch is in it as Doctor Strange, so we'll talk about him. Box office-wise, so it was on a budget of $200 million, which is general MCU-type budget, but it's done $638 million worldwide so far, which is, even taking COVID away, that's amazing. So a couple of the records that this movie has already accomplished. So opening weekend in the US... $260 million. This is the second highest all-time opening weekend behind Endgame.
Wow, fuck.
You know, if the... Imagine what would have happened if it wasn't for COVID. Maybe it would have done even...
No, I don't think it's...
Wait, first of all, is COVID restricting anything?
I don't think in the US it is.
In the US it's not.
Yeah.
They've been out of lockdown for 12 months now.
So I don't think...
In the UK it's not. They've been out of lockdown for 12 months. So is it really having an impact?
I think some people are still... Maybe not with this movie, but some people were still apprehensive to go to the cinema. That's why the more recent movies haven't done as well as they.
I don't think. I don't think if there wasn't COVID, I don't think this would have made that much more. Yeah,
I mean the virus is here to stay. So if it's going to make that impact, it's going to make that impact for the rest of the
probably.
The next,
we probably won't ever. Years. We probably I mean, we probably won't see Endgame level box office.
Well,
for
this isn't that far off it, so I think we.
How
might.
Much was Endgame?
Endgame was. 357. So it was more. It was a lot more.
Freaking good for a Spider-Man movie. I think, I mean, without saying it, we kind of know why it would have happened, I think.
Yeah.
There were predictions about this movie
So Spider-Man 3, in terms of the Spider-Man movie, Spider-Man 3 was the highest opening weekend before this.
Oh, God.
And that was 151 million.
That was such a great movie.
So this just beat Infinity War. So Infinity War is 258 million. So it's just over that. So that's just talking about US. So if we talk about worldwide now, so it made 600 million in the opening weekend. That's the third highest of all time behind Endgame, obviously.
So Star Wars, isn't it?
No, and Infinity War.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Infinity War made 640 million, so just a bit more than this. Endgame, no comparison, 1.2 billion, so... Mm.
Yeah. I think Thursday opening night, it was third overall behind Endgame. And then Force Awakens, I think, has the second one on opening night.
This is
American domestic, I'm pretty sure.
Worldwide. So a couple of things to mention. So Infinity War and this movie, they didn't open in China. They don't know when this is going to open in China. It might not ever open in China. But Infinity War didn't open in China. So the same weekend, it opened later in China. Endgame opened in China the same day. So that's why it made so much money, $1.2 billion. But it's doing really well. That's the bottom line. comic book origins. So very quickly, when was Spider-Verse first introduced in the comics?
2007.
So it's actually even more recent than that. 2014 was when it was introduced in the comics.
Really?
Like I'm pretty sure what they did they rebooted the Marvel universe in the comics. And they made it the ultimate. They rebooted the whole universe, and that's when they introduced Miles Morales. But they rebooted every single character in the Marvel universe, and people disliked many of those characters.
When?
This was before 2014, but pretty recently.
Yeah,
pretty recent to that. Yeah,
right. That's why to make an excuse for it.
So some people they hated most of the characters in that universe, but some of the characters were. Beloved, which was Miles Morales. They liked that character.
Yeah.
And then there were some other characters that were like, oh, this is a good character. but for the most part, they hated everything else. So then they tried to bring it back to the status quo, which they wanted to get Peter Parker back. So they rewrote it all to get Peter Parker back. But to get Miles Morales in it, they had to do like a Spider-Verse kind of thing where he jumps through, essentially. So they molded universes. So
because I don't read the comics, and I kind of don't do it on purpose because I guess all these movies are coming out, so I don't want to encroach on it. So you're saying the comic books introduce Miles Morales as a separate Spider-Man in a different universe.
Yeah.
They don't do what Into the Spider-Verse, and they don't do what the game does, where they're both part of the same universe and they just happen to be get bitten by a different sort of spider.
Yeah.
That kind of makes more sense in my eyes. Mm. What are the chances that two people get bitten by like a radioactive spider and
in the same universe? Yeah.
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 But then again, what are the chances that a lot of this shit happens in Marvel anyway? So
yep.
The comics weren't actually the first time they did a Spider-Verse. So do you remember that Spider-Man animated series?
Oh, yeah, they did that. Yeah, I've seen that episode, actually.
In the 90s. That's actually the first time they properly did, like, a Spider-Verse thing. Moving on to positives and negatives. So let's talk about this movie. So we can go around the table in terms of our positives first. I'll go last, so you can go first.
You can go first.
No. Guess Darren, go first. You go first, and then I know because I think you guys have more similar opinions to me. It's going to be a good debate. So you go first, and I go, then Shravan goes.
Wait, we have similar opinions to you?
I feel like you guys are going to have a bit. I'm going to be on one side of the table.
Oh, okay. You're going to be on the
other
side.
That's my feeling. I might be wrong, but.
But we're all on different sides of the table.
Okay. We're going to have a fight.
very quickly, it's what's in the trailer. Story.
Yep. Yeah.
Peter Parker's not happy that everyone knows who he is. This is from Far From Home. And he goes to Doctor Strange to make people forget who he is. And then stuff happens.
He wants to prevent people from knowing that he's Spider-Man. And in the events, in his attempts to do so, some events happen and makes the universe more complicated.
Okay.
That's it.
We're going non-spoiler positives.
Correct.
There's not much I can say here. I did like the movie. It's a very good movie.
You didn't like it?
No, I liked it.
Wait, what did you just say?
I said I did like the movie. It's a very good movie.
You just said I did not like the movie. I said that so casually and it kept going on. Okay, you did like it.
Yeah. Non-spoiler, it's hard. I liked certain...
it's going to be very difficult.
Yeah. Let me think how I could phrase this non-spoiler. Look, there's characters in this movie that are done very well. I don't think this is a spoiler. I think Willem Dafoe, everyone knows he's in this movie. And I think he knocks it out of the park. He's very good in his role and very sinister. I think probably the best villain iteration for a Spider-Man movie we've seen in a long time. It's a good end to the trilogy. I don't think this is it's not a spoiler. This might be a spoiler. I will leave that till later. Tom Holland was great as usual. I think he's the best Spider-Man, and more so because his movies are good. And I think he embodies the character better than the other previous two Spider-Men have. And even Stan Lee said in an interview that when he wrote Spider-Man, he envisioned him to be what Tom Holland is. So I think he's probably the best Spider-Man character we've ever
seen. What was that you said when someone wrote it?
When Stan Lee wrote the character of Peter Parker, he said he kind of envisioned him
I never make much of that. It's like J.K. Rowling saying...
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, like, yeah, Dumbledore's gay the whole time.
Yeah, 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 it's definitely. Like,
once you've written the story, I believe it's in the reader's mind, and that's it.
And
it's
I like, guess...
It actually doesn't matter.
You're marketing a movie, so you have to say that shit anyway. But I think he's a very good Spider-Man. Other than that, I don't think I can say the rest of this stuff without going into spoilers, so...
Adding on to that, I think... I think this is the one movie where Zendaya has actually done something and actually acts. I think she actually shows her acting potential / her acting prowess. I don't think she did that much in the previous movie, but she has.
In the first movie, she's hardly in it.
She does nothing in the first
one. Yeah, yep.
In the second one, she's
in it a bit
she's
more.
She's kind of there, but I don't think the writing really supports her acting. She's just kind of around.
She's not really a main part of that movie. Well, she is, but she's not.
She is, but I think also the writing is kind of goes up and down where it's an interesting movie in that she's just kind of there. And actually, when you really think about it, it's like they've introduced her in that second movie as someone that they never really introduced in the first movie.
Mm.
But I think in this one, there's much more grounding to her character. I think she has good moments. I think she has good emotional moments.
Chemistry between them is very good as well. Yeah.
Apparently, they worked on something before Spider-Man together.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think they met on
Spider-Man. Yeah. No, really?
Yeah.
Where did I get that from? I don't know.
I don't know.
All right, never mind. What else can I add? Yeah, I think I agree. I think Spider-Man is really good. I think this movie is able to highlight various interesting and unique aspects of this particular Spider-Man trilogy and emphasize good points about it and kind of why it's good. I think you can see why it's good. Yeah, I agree that Tom Holland was really good once again. I think it introduces certain concepts in Spider-Man that are key, doesn't do it in a too cliched way, and doesn't also shy away from it. I think I'll explain that a bit more in the spoiler section. Overall, it's fairly interesting. I think I was pretty interested. It was 2.5 hours, pretty long, but it still kept me interested. So I thought it was entertaining. Good fan service as well towards the end. And
I think entertaining is the right way to describe it. Entertaining and lots of fan service.
I think it was written quite well in the bounds of what this movie could have been and kind of where it is in the progression of Marvel. And what are we in phase four? What do we call this? Yeah. I think the fact that we're in phase four, a lot of things have already happened. You're having new characters come in, a lot of old characters like Iron Man, Captain America have kind of gone as we know them. I think they made a good decision in what they decided to do with this movie.
Agree with all of that. So I think before going into this movie, I was pretty apprehensive about maybe they're trying to do a little bit too much. Just from the trailers, I felt like there was a lot happening in this movie. And could they balance all those elements well? And I was pleasantly surprised because they did a pretty good job. I agree that I think it was pretty well written with what they were going for. It was pretty ambitious. And they did it pretty well in the end. The only other thing I would say is I think the other two Spider-Man movies in this trilogy, especially the first one, it's more of a – it's not only a Spider-Man movie. Like Iron Man's in that movie. The villains are Iron Man-centric, even in the second one. It never really felt like it was a pure Spider-Man story. This one actually does. This one is, especially towards the second half of this movie, becomes very much a Tom Holland. It's driven by his character, and it's very much a Spider-Man-centric movie, which I was I was very happy about.
That's what a lot of people – not a lot of people, but I have seen online – people think Tom Holland is the worst Spider-Man and they say he's exactly what Spider-Man shouldn't be, mostly because they feel like he's Iron Boy, not Spider-Man, because of the first two movies. I disagree with that because I think he's still his own character.
And I've got
some appreciate thoughts. Where they're coming from there.
Yeah. But I've got some thoughts on that because I think they jumped the gun a little bit with those comments because I think this movie makes up for everything. So it's we'll get into it in spoilers. I've got some thoughts on that. The villains that were brought back were, again, I was a little bit apprehensive about this because I thought they were just going to come and have some fights and that'd be it. But they're not just there for action. There's a bit of development for those characters as well, which was very well done. So overall, I think it just delivered on the premise and there's a lot of crowd-pleasing moments, a lot of fan service. And we've seen fan service not done well, like Rise of Skywalker, for example.
I think this is, this is equivalent to Force Awakens fan service.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't.
Because Force Awakens, when it came out,
I'll say Force Awakens. Yeah. I think Force Awakens was a good movie.
Yeah.
I just think there's far more fan service in that than there is in this. Because there's a reason as to why. So the way that this was written, there's reasons as to why things turn out the way they are. Force Awakens was, they've made a new movie where they didn't really have to, and they connected absolutely everything to things that have happened in the previous trilogies. And so I feel like this one, I would think that if someone wasn't sure about this movie and they heard that comment, that would be like, what the fuck?
I think I'm gonna watch this. The good thing about this is, which Force Awakens does, is it doesn't open up a bunch of mystery boxes that need to be revealed later. Which is the main problem with Force Awakens. It sets up all this stuff. It's like, oh, who's Rey's parents?
And they shit all over it.
Yeah, which was not good. But the fan service parts of Force Awakens are actually quite good. And I think this executes it just as well as that does.
yeah,
for the most part. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that was done pretty well. We'll get into more in spoilers. The other thing, Sony is pretty infamous for their trailers, but they didn't stuff it up this time. They actually did a pretty good job with the trailers. So the trailers didn't give away pretty
I have a little bit of a bone to pick with the trailer. I feel like they did something on purpose where they tried to miss.
Yeah,
which is a bit like, it's a bit dumb because I think some fans realize that either some people will be like, okay, so they did this thing in the trailer where they pretended like they're giving away parts of the story when they actually weren't, right?
And Marvel's infamous for doing that though.
Yeah, but I think Marvel does it in a less, they still hold back a bit. I think in this one they made this faux explanation as to what the storyline was in the trailer, which I think half the people were, like, I was annoyed, but I was like, if this is true, this is annoying because it's shit. The storyline's crap. And then other people just didn't believe it full stop. And so it's just like,
well, this,
I reckon they could have cut back a little bit on that trailer. Held back
the storyline was that. It just didn't play out the way it did in the trailer. That's all.
Yeah, yeah. Which I think is key.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's not spoil it too much just yet.
All right. We can quickly talk about some negatives. So I do have some negatives. Particularly there's some plot conveniences. Things happen and you have to go with it.
There's definitely plot holes in this movie, which I've written. But if you go with it, then
I think that the setup was not as good as the payoff. The setup was, there was some stuff that you kind of have to breeze over in the setup. The payoff was good. So that's why I'm kind of okay with it. If the payoff wasn't good, I think this movie would be much worse than it was if the payoff didn't come.
I think
it's
better if there's not as much of a setup, but then the payoff's much better, don't you think? Rather than having a great setup and having a shit payoff.
Yeah, absolutely. But I would have, because I've taken such a big step and they've done so much for the payoff, I would have liked them to spend a bit more time getting the setup right as well. But that's because I've just got high expectations.
Yeah.
That's basically all I had in terms of negatives that I can mention here. We can get more into it in the spoilers. Was there anything else?
You got any?
These are all. These are all spoilers. So we'll... Yeah.
Cool. I got none.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think I just mentioned spoilers.
And the other thing is this movie is actually pretty long, but it never actually felt long.
No.
And we've watched some long movies this year. So
that's stupid. What was it called?
Eternals.
Yeah.
I think No Time to Die was the longest one we watched, I think.
Shit, was it?
Yeah. It felt long.
How long is that?
Almost 3 hours, that one.
Mm.
So if we don't have anything else, obviously it's a cognitive recalibration. I think everyone, if you're a Spider-Man fan, probably already watched it, but definitely watch it. Marvel fan, definitely watch it. Even if you're a general audience.
That would be a negative for me. If you've never seen Spider-Man, like any of the Spider-Man, then this movie is complete garbage.
Yeah, but that's the same as Infinity War.
And Endgame. Yeah. It's the same as those two.
Yeah.
But like, if it's a general audience member, if it's my dad watching this, he has no idea what's going on.
Correct.
Yeah.
My dad generally doesn't have much of
I think you can still have fun with it, especially if you watch it in the cinema. So this is one of those movies where like watching it together with people, it actually enhances the experience.
I'll say this though, as we walked out, our theater was basically full. As we walked out, there was a couple of girls talking next to me and they're like, two of the girls hadn't seen any Spider-Man movie before, I think. And then one of the girls is like, did you have any idea what's going on? She's like, no idea.
So if you were born into the TikTok generation and you have previously not watched Marvel movies, i.e. before the MCU came out, then you might struggle. But I think you'll still enjoy it.
I think you'll still enjoy it, though.
It's still an enjoyable movie, but
there are certain references you will not understand.
Yep. Yeah. The crowd would be cheering and you would be like, why?
But I think
you get very lucky if you have older people watching this movie as the crowd. Imagine if it was just young people as being the crowd.
Yeah. In your second viewing, was that your experience?
It was just full of rats that were chucking popcorn everywhere. So a few people screamed
at you
them.
Specifically.
I got bullied by 12-year-olds the whole time.
And then you bash them.
I will not admit to that. I fled the fifth. Wow. English.
Yeah, my second experience, I watched it on a Monday night, Tuesday night, 9 o'clock show. And it was completely.
9 o'clock.
Yeah. It just happened. I wanted to go earlier, but it just happened. But it was completely full.
You said no to an 8:30 show the day before.
But it was completely full, and there was still cheering even on a weeknight. So
nice.
Yeah, yeah, it was totally. So I watched it again on the Monday night. I was looking at all the availability. So first at Gold Class, there were three sessions of Gold Class at like every village in the southeast, and they were all full. And then all the standards were nearly booked out. All the Hoyts were quickly selling on a Monday night. I think that's a combination of school holidays, but also just people wanting to watch it again.
Watch
people,
this movie. Yeah, people just
Spider-Man is a very popular character as well. Like, I know you said like TikTok generation, but they still love Spider-Man
and
Tom Holland. Yeah.
No, I'm saying TikTok only because they wouldn't have watched
the older ones. They wouldn't know Alfred Molina. They wouldn't know Willem Dafoe.
In general, when you talk about superheroes, the ones that everyone says Batman
and Spider-Man. No, Batman, not Superman. Batman and Spider-Man.
Well, Superman, just because he's such a...
Fuck Superman and fuck that character.
But yeah, Spider-Man actually sells the most toys out of any...
Does, yeah.
Any superhero. So and he's very popular.
It's Spider-Man's marketable because they marketed it to different regions in the 90s as well. Like Japan had his own Spider-Man. Like India had their own.
Really? Kinda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not based in New York?
No, it was based in Tokyo.
And what? Delhi? Mumbai?
India's had their own iterations of Spider-Man as well.
No way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, how like, people have grown up with Spider-Man.
Yep.
Yeah. In one form. All right.
Also, it's also TV show based, right? That's the main reason, right?
Yeah.
And the TV shows for Batman and especially Spider-Man were very easygoing, easy to watch. You can chuck them on in the morning. I used to watch Spider-Man good. All the time in the morning. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Let's jump into spoilers. So, if you haven't seen the movie and you care about spoilers, go watch the movie. Come back to this point and we'll talk spoilers.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
All right, so we can go step by step in terms of the spoilers. So we can go through in some level of detail the movie and just talk about our thoughts at each step. So it essentially starts at the end of Far From Home. Same scene.
Immediately.
Pretty much, yeah, just immediately after that. And you just see the crowd. It's some of the reactions were interesting. Do you see that guy that, like, jumps after Spider-Man when he's, like...
Tries to catch
it? Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Mm. And then you get this short sequence where they're going across town, getting to Queens in a route that they won't get discovered. And then you have this short sequence with Happy and Aunt May and MJ and...
So I don't think you specifically said, but... His identity gets revealed just then.
Yeah, yeah. So at end of Far From Home, you find out that his identity is revealed, and then
just in case people forget.
Yeah, yeah. This stuff's kind of revealed in the trailer. So in terms of the interrogation stuff that they go through afterwards, and I thought tonally, and this is where the trailer does mislead you a bit, it felt very like dire in the trailer. It felt like really serious. But then the way it plays out in the movie, it's not as serious. Like the music is a little bit more upbeat, and it's not like the end of the world kind of thing.
What I noticed when I rewatched it was when Spider-Man, so the first camera angle is essentially, so they're talking about it's kind of like that Infinity War thing where there's all these voices in the background and all these things happening, and you're just getting from the pre-credits into the main scene. They zoom in on Spider-Man, then all this like fancy, like upbeat jungle music and all these drums start playing. When he's getting, and I was like, oh, okay. It's very happy music for a dire thing that's just happened.
It's played for comedy rather than seriousness, which some people wouldn't like, but also it fits more tonally with the previous Spider-Man movies than, if you went straight from Far From Home to this, it wouldn't feel that much of a leap, if that makes sense.
But also the ending of Far From Home didn't have, so it's like the reaction from Spider-Man was semi-comedic as well. It's like, oh, shit. You know, how did they find that out? It wasn't like really dark or ominous.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So I think it fits.
It fits what they were going for.
And it fits with the rest of this movie as well. Yep. I think.
This movie isn't a serious movie. It's not the Dark Knight.
At this time, for this particular point and this particular emphasis. Yeah.
It's got serious points, but overall, I would say it's more of a comedic film rather than a
serious.
Yeah.
It does get serious later, but yeah. Overall, it's not. It's more lighthearted.
Yeah.
We did talk about the trailers. I think I already said they did a pretty good job not giving too much away. We can talk about that Doctor Strange. Okay, so in between, they don't get into MIT, and then Peter starts feeling.
So the main thing that forces Peter to make that decision that you see in the trailer to ask Doctor Strange to reverse things is essentially his life's changed a little bit, and like it's been a while. He's finished school and everything.
Yeah.
But he doesn't get into MIT. It's probably the main thing that forces him.
I mean, he obviously doesn't. He's not very happy that he didn't get into MIT. But MJ, it's more that MJ and Ned.
Hey, question. Yeah. Did MJ and Ned disappear during the blip?
Yes. Why would they be the same age if they didn't disappear?
Well, because at the end of Endgame, when Spider-Man goes back, right, Ned, it looks like, they don't really explain this, but Ned looks like he's missed Peter. And so I've always wondered whether I'm like,
I think he's just like, oh, we're both alive again.
Well, I guess Peter was gone for
He was off planet.
Yeah. Maybe he was gone for like a week or something.
It was like a day, wasn't it?
Because they poorly
Ned screams and distracts everyone on the bus, it's like a day. And then the whole fight takes like.
But they are traveling to Titan for a little bit.
Yeah.
It's probably not a week, maybe like 3 days. Max?
No, really? But they definitely all get blipped because in Far From Home, they're all in the same class. Yeah. So unless Ned got held back
exactly. That's what I was
years,
trying to. Yeah.
Which would make sense why he didn't make it into MIT.
But also, I guess all of the class gets blipped. Like what the. All the main characters get blipped. That chick that Ned dates got blipped.
Yeah.
Or she's a freak and she's at uni and actually still reporting on kids.
there's a guy that doesn't get blipped. They go through it.
That Asian guy in Far From.
Oh, that's their excuse to get rid of him.
They didn't get into their backup schools, right? So
did they really think they would?
Lot of people don't get into MIT. So it's with their issues, they probably shouldn't expect them.
So I think a lot of people don't get into MIT when they're international. I think a lot of smart people
locally
who kind of will kind of have an idea whether they get in or not.
Yeah.
Mm. And I think all of those guys were smart, and they weren't they in those smart quiz competitions like MJ was.
They're in a specialist. They're in like a special school.
Yeah.
Not a special school because you're
like disabled. A what? They're in a selective school.
Yeah. It's called a magnet school or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So I guess they.
And that's why Flash Thompson looks like a nerd.
Yeah, because he got into MIT.
A lot of people have a problem with this part in the movie because they're like, well, Tony Stark went to MIT. He knows Pepper and he knows Happy. And Tony Stark's like the biggest beneficiary of MIT in this universe. So they're like, oh, why doesn't he just ask Pepper to get him into MIT?
But also, wasn't the reason as to why I couldn't get in because of controversy? So, like,
yeah,
I think
that's
that,
right. That's the main
it doesn't
reason.
Matter anymore. I think once you bring into when you bring a school into disrepute, I don't think having contacts matters.
I think if he asked Pepper, he would have got in easily. But the thing is, he's a kid and he doesn't know he can ask. He doesn't know he can ask people, or he didn't think about it. Exactly.
Also, Gwyneth Paltrow doesn't know that she's in Spider-Man movies.
Yeah. Well, he obviously didn't think about. He didn't even know that he could ask for like a
second consideration. Yeah, so I think the thing that people are like, oh, he's stupid, he's a kid. But they forget how he is a kid. He's 18 years old. They forget how they probably acted when they're 18 years old.
Yeah.
And everyone, the biggest complaint about this movie that I've heard is they think Spider-Man is stupid. And they're like, the things he does in this movie is like, it's something a kid would do. But the thing is, he is a kid.
Yeah, I think it's exactly what a 17 or 18-year-old would do. Exactly. He's like in the process of, he's like finished school, kind of finished school. His post-Endgame and all that, post-Endgame and post the last movie. And he's just got a new girlfriend. There's like a lot of complex, weird things happening in his life. I don't think he can make the most, you know, he can't make
decision.
The most Judas-prudent decisions. And
So he ends up going to Doctor Strange. Because he wants some magical stuff to happen so that people can forget that he is Spider-Man. Or everything that happened with Mysterio, that stuff, essentially.
So his main motivation is to prevent the people around him from suffering because of people realizing that he's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It's the main motivation, which is a kind of key,
Yeah. And the way it plays out in the movie makes a little bit more sense than the way it played out in the trailer. In the trailer, I thought Doctor Strange was acting pretty strange. So
the trailer's bullshit. The trailer was like.
But in the movie, it kind of makes a bit more sense. So firstly, he's not Sorcerer Supreme anymore.
So this is, I think this is a big thing as to when people are questioning why Doctor Strange did this spell. First off, it plays out differently because he's like, he's done this spell before and he feels like he can do it. The thing that people forget is Doctor Strange is like, he's a super narcissist. So he has to be the best at everything he does. So,
and he's gonna, and it's gonna lead to his downfall, is kind of one of the character flaws.
He has to be the best at what he does. So, if you've ever met a narcissist, if you tell them they can't do something, they'll do it.
Yeah. Also, he's a neurosurgeon. If anyone's ever spoken to a neurosurgeon before, they'll know what Dr. Strange is like.
Yeah. So, I think for him, even though he knows the spell could go wrong, he's like, I'm Dr. Strange, I can do it anyway. And the fact that he's being cucked by Wong, because Wong's Sorcerer Supreme now,
blipped.
He's probably trying to do stuff to prove himself.
I think that was a pretty funny and a good revelation that Wong is Sorcerer Supreme.
And it also makes sense because Wong's been turning up in like all this other stuff. Like he was in Shang-Chi.
Yeah, that's why he's so involved.
Yeah.
I think he's.
But it's also funny that the Sorcerer Supreme was getting drunk karaoke night with Shang-Chi.
But you could tell he's definitely cut that he's not Sorcerer Supreme. Yeah. I think he's like pissed off, which I think will be explored in
Doctor Strange.
I'm sure. Yeah. You already know it will be because in Endgame. Yeah, in Endgame, what's her face? The Tilda Swinton. Her character essentially says that Doctor Strange was going to be the best of us, which is a reference to the future Sorcerer Supreme. So I think she knows, and I think everyone kind of knows it's going that way. But it's good. I think it's like this thing you didn't expect, and it's a good revelation to have. Makes things more interesting. The dynamic as to how Doctor Strange acts kind of makes sense a bit more.
And you also understand that he actually cares for Peter, which we didn't really get in, like, they spent time together in Infinity War, but, you know, he's kind of like.
They spent some time on that chip, eh? Yeah.
So obviously he's grown slightly fond of him.
But also they had the fight together on Titan.
Yeah.
And he must have had some sort of interaction with him because he brings him back.
Sure.
So it looks like he genuinely actually cares for him.
If you're Doctor Strange and you live in New York, your sanctum is in New York, and there's always funky things happening around. I'm sure he's like one of those people that keeps an eye out on things that are happening around him. And so he kind of knows.
Yeah. So,
but anyway, he fucks up the spell anyway.
Yeah. So it's,
okay. So here's the question. I think he doesn't fuck it up in a totally irresponsible way. I think it totally makes sense why it went wrong. Do not agree.
He fucks it, but then he saves it. But in the gap where he fucks it and saves it, a few things happen.
So let's explain the spell, right?
Yeah.
So essentially, from my understanding, and I was left a little bit confused after my first watching, but I think I understood it more on my second watching, was that so Peter Parker requests him to what? What's his request? That
everyone forget that he's Spider-Man.
No. The first time, his actual request is everyone forget who he is.
No, it's to everyone to forget who he's Spider-Man.
It's just Spider-Man.
Peter Parker is Spider-Man. So he says, I want everyone to forget who I am. The Doctor Strange interprets that as in order to create a spell, he's like, in order to make this apply, he needs to gather everyone who knows Spider-Man to be Peter Parker. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, well,
I drank so much Coke.
So it's everyone who knows that Peter Parker is Spider-Man will forget that he is Spider-Man.
Yeah, but the way the spell works is he gets everyone who has that knowledge. And so he does this. The spell is like him gathering everyone from he doesn't realize it, but from the universes, the multiverse, which he didn't realize. But he gathers, because I think the spell essentially, if you really go into it, I think is that understanding that Peter Parker is Spider-Man is like this gathering thing. So you gather everyone's knowledge and then you get rid of that knowledge. And I think that's why it leads to all the events, which is kind of, it's a key thing. I think you can watch the movie without understanding that, but
I'm not sure if his intention was that, like across multiverse.
Correct. Yeah. I don't think that was his intention, but that's what the spell does.
Yeah. Cause Wong
in order
says
for
something,
it to work.
Wong says something, right? When he's like, oh, don't do that spell because it like traverses.
Yeah, it traverses the boundaries between the normal and.
My feeling is that this is happening simultaneously to what's happening in Loki. So that boundary's being broken down already. So he's.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so it's easier for.
Yeah.
Things to escape. Yeah.
It's easier for things to escape. Oh,
I haven't even thought about it. I've totally forgotten about kind of what the impact of the Loki TV series was as well. But I think that, that definitely will add to
it. Well, I think I get what you mean. So everyone, he's collecting everyone's brains that know Peter Parker is Spider-Man. And then he's trying to erase that.
Just take
but accidentally, as a result of that, some people get through into this universe. That know that Peter Parker's
Spider-Man. I think what that spell does is it first gathers everyone that has this knowledge first and then erases their memory. Yeah.
And he fucks it for a little bit where it kind of goes, but then he controls it.
Contains it.
In that time, some people already come through, unfortunately.
My question is, like, this probably happened, but who else knows that Peter Parker is Spider-Man? Aunt May?
MJ.
Well, according to this...
Well, there's one person that comes through in this that doesn't know Peter Parker's Spider-Man. It's referenced in the movie that he doesn't know Peter Parker's Spider-Man, but he still comes through.
Who?
Electro.
No, Electro. I think Electro.
No, he doesn't because Andrew Garfield takes off his mask and he's like, I thought Spider-Man would be black. So why would he think Spider-Man's black if he knows he's Peter Parker?
No, I think that... So is that guaranteed? In the previous movie, did... Electro not know that Andrew got like
I don't Peter think he Parker. Sees him with his mask off. Yeah,
he doesn't know he's Spider-Man. He doesn't know Peter Parker's Spider-Man.
So he really shouldn't be.
Unless
here.
That's a plot hole.
He finds out. This is a stretch. Unless didn't he say that he got brought into this universe just as he was about to die?
Yeah.
Also, Electro is the fucking funniest character in this. He fucking had some great fucking deadpan sarcasm that never existed in the previous movies. I don't know where he got it from.
He's a different character to what he is in The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
But you reckon he could have realized, you know how he says that he was about to turn into like this all powerful and it was that explode? I don't know. How does he die in the second Spider-Man movie?
He gets like uploaded into a...
Doesn't
like,
he? Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't that mean, you know...
He gets up... He like goes into the power plant and then he
so
explodes.
So is he becoming transcendent and hence knowing, according... To internet
look,
and
we
whatever.
Could, we could go into that and call it
then
a stretch.
Then realizes at that point in time and that Peter Parker is Spider-Man, then he gets pulled over.
I think the reality is no one liked the Dane DeHaan Green Goblin and they're like, this guy sucks. It's like, which are the villains in this movie? Jamie Foxx, we'll bring him in.
Yeah.
People will forget about it. It's okay. But that's a plot hole.
So not everyone that knows him comes through because he says a few escaped. He doesn't say, like, everyone that knows Peter Parker.
No, but then at the end, if we skip to the end, everyone's coming through at the end. that knows he's Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what that's my question. So maybe what the spell does is it first gathers everyone that knows Spider-Man. And then it then filters and sees who knows. Like that's my – I mean, you can – it's a stretch. Once again, if you want to really make this spell work and make the reasoning behind it work, you could argue that what the spell does is it gathers or it attaches to everyone that is aware of Spider-Man and then filters out by people who know that Peter Parker is Spider-Man. And in that process, the spell gets cucked by whatever Peter is telling him to adjust. And but by then there's already this link that's been made between the multiverses.
It's referenced directly in the movie that it's bringing people through that know Peter Parker Spider-Man. Doctor Strange says that. He says it's bringing people through that know Peter Parker Spider-Man.
So not just all the people we see Spider-Man. At the end, it must mean that all those villains
knew that Peter Parker Spider-Man. Yep.
From in those universes.
In those universes.
That's a lot of villains knowing that Spider-Man is Peter Parker. Yeah. That's a lot of To be honest, there's a lot of Peter Parkers that lead shit lives.
Yeah.
Right? As soon as villains know that Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
But there's thousands.
It leads to a very complicated. Exactly. It's infinite.
So it's, I guess it makes sense. Yeah. I was just wondering why. Surely other people might have come through. It just so happens that we only met the villains that know Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So like Mary Jane could have come through. You just didn't meet her. That's all.
Yeah. She wasn't relevant to the plot. She couldn't help the plot. Yeah. So I guess, yeah.
Or like would a have been, Mary Jane.
Well, we see that Venom comes through and he does nothing for the plot and then he leaves. So there could be people that do that. Yeah.
But also Venom, that completely doesn't make sense because he never actually even met Spider-Man.
So maybe it is a true – so there's only two ways. It's either a true plot hole or it is my theory that's how the spell works.
The Venom one makes sense given that – at the end of Venom, Let There Be Carnage, in the post-credit scene.
A movie that you don't like.
A movie that sucks. In my notes, I've got Venom, Let There Be Carnage sucks.
Oh, no.
Okay, so at the end of Venom, Let There Be Carnage, Venom says a thing how his knowledge traverses universes and timelines. So essentially...
No way.
He does say that. And he's
but is he lying? That's bullshit. How does that work?
And he says that if I gave you an ounce of my knowledge, it would burn your brain or something.
Yeah.
You reckon that's true? You reckon...
So
that's a bit OP for Venom, sure. So
the reason it makes sense is that Venom is probably a hive mind. Venom is a hive mind. So it's...
You reckon it's a multiverse hive mind?
Yes. So Venom from a different universe would know who...
It could be the same Venom.
It's a hive mind. It's not the same Venom. It's just they all connect to the same network.
It means that it is the same Venom.
It's not the same Venom. It's just
a tentacle of the hive mind that exists... beyond the multiverse.
It's a Dell laptop. They've all got the same motherboard and they all got the same knowledge, but different people are using them.
It's the same Venom.
Does that make sense?
You're saying it's the same Venom.
It's not the same Venom.
So this Venom knows about Peter Parker.
All the Venoms in every universe know about Peter Parker because one of the Venoms has met Peter Parker.
So they're all connected?
They all connect.
And therefore they're
across
all the same Venom.
Across
but
the
they're different. They've all got different personalities and different Venoms.
Yeah,
so that's why it would that Venom knows Peter Parker Spider-Man because every Venom knows Peter Parker Spider-Man.
Yeah. So I don't think that's very. I mean, you've explained it, but I don't think that's very clear. Like, I didn't know that.
I've made up that theory, and it might not be true. But that's the only reason that would make sense.
I just think they wanted to get Venom into this universe somehow, so they can get Venom in a Spider-Man movie.
But and that's saying why they did it. Venom, Let There Be Carnage sucks because that whole movie was
first one wasn't good either.
But that whole movie was marketed on the post-credit scene, being that Tom Hardy's Venom is now going to be in the MCU.
Yeah,
and they're going to fight each other. But then in the post-credit scene of this movie,
he just
goes back to his own world. So that whole movie was marketed on this one thing that actually doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So fuck that movie.
Mate, Sony are doing whatever they can to sell that movie.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's bad tactics.
Because if they're going to bring in Venom, it would have been nice if they actually kept Tom Hardy. Because what's the point now? Like it's...
Have they bailed on Tom Hardy?
Well, he's gone back to his universe, so I don't think he's going to meet Tom Holland.
I think the universes are now separate anymore. I think the universes are very much bridged.
I think they definitely will have a movie where they fight each other, and I think it'll be Tom Hardy Venom. But I think they thought that would be Spider-Man 4, and at the time of filming Venom, they didn't know if Marvel was going to do another trilogy with Tom Holland, or if he would be reverted back to Sony,
yeah,
and they'll just do it. Are you sure you want more Coke, Matt? Yeah. They didn't know if he was going to be reverted back to Sony, and they were going to do that Spider-Man Venom movie.
Yeah, but now they've left it open for, like, for example, Andrew Garfield Spider-Man. He could be in Andrew Garfield Spider-Man's universe.
He could be, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So they could still do it with Andrew Garfield.
They could, yeah.
Instead of Tom Holland.
That would be interesting. It would be very interesting to have a concurrent, and I think it could work. It could, if they do it very well, it could work to have Tom Holland and Andrew Garfield be concurrent Spider-Mans, but will it happen? Will Marvel, can Marvel do anything about it?
Maybe do you guys, let's skip forward and, or do you want to skip forward or do you want to?
And we do, I feel like we've discussed that point. Okay, so yeah. So what, we've explained the spell.
Yeah, so yeah, we explained the spell, so, and we've talked about how the villains come out. So first he meets Doc Ock, which is on the bridge. You see a bit of it in the trailer. That's the only thing I'd say about this movie is the action was okay. The best action sequence was the one with Doctor Strange. So in the,
I think the best action sequence is the one with Green Goblin in the apartment.
I don't know about that one. That one had like very fast cut. It wasn't that engaging.
I think that was more brutal.
Yeah.
It was a whole lot of wrestling moves.
Yeah, but yeah. The Doctor the problem Strange with one
the
doc, was...
The problem with the Doc Ock one is it's got no weight to the fight. Nothing feels real when they're getting hit and stuff like that. It just feels like they're flying around. Too much CGI.
And it wasn't. Yep. It also wasn't that long. It was like
yep.
A couple of minutes.
The Doctor Strange fight's okay, but I think the Doctor Strange fight's cool because he's so out of his depth, but he still figures out a way to...
I just like, yep. I guess Doctor Strange adds that dimension. The
when you but mirror, the two, dimension,
mirror dimension yeah, stuff. Sick, yeah.
But the two Green Goblin fights have the most weight to them. They're throwing punches and there's like blood.
I just don't think they're that... Like they don't use Spider-Man that well in those fights. Like he doesn't do Spider-Man. He's just punching him. He doesn't do like Spider-Man stuff.
I think that it makes it more brutal because he's like, I've afforded a guy. Like I can't do Spider-Man shit with this guy because he's just beating the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing I will say is that so Spider-Man reaches this next level of awakening at the end of the second movie, right? In that the crucial scene in that movie is he's blind and using his Spidey sense, he can navigate the world. And they tend to forget, like, it's like they've forgotten about this heightened sense of power that Tom Holland and Spider-Man now has. And because when he uses the Spidey sense in that scene, you know, there's this when they're all gathered in Happy's apartment.
That's a good scene.
I feel like Tom Holland's Spidey sense takes way too long to activate. Like, he realizes there's something ominous going on. It takes, like, 20 seconds for him to go, oh, shit. It's cool, but it's also like they could have done it. There are other ways to actually film it, let alone make it, because of the fact that I think people are forgetting about he's supposed to have this little bit.
I think it's because there's sense of a lot of stuff going on in that one scene. Yeah. So Electro's having second thoughts about the thing. What's his name? And the thing downstairs is about to break out.
Lizard.
Yeah, Lizard's about to break out in the...
fuck was that guy doing anyway? He was just like, no, I just want to stay in the truck.
I think it's because there's multiple things happening. His Spidey sense is like overloaded.
Yeah.
And he's like, what do I need to primarily think about here? And
On the Spidey sense, so you know that scene where his astral form is hit out of him? Doctor Strange hits the astral form.
That is a cool scene.
Yeah. On Spider-Man, the body, you see like these little... things coming out of his head, like the spider sense.
Yeah. Which is why Doctor Strange can't grab the thing because he Spidey senses.
Because it's just reflexes. Yeah. His body's automatically doing it.
Because in Into Spider-Verse, they show like little arrows coming out of his head, right? Like they showed that in a live action way in this movie, which was pretty cool. But yeah, I like that whole Doctor Strange sequence. We need to talk about Doctor Strange. So I like him in this movie, but do you think it was Charles Xavier?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
100% he's Charles Xavier. Yeah.
So it's when you have a character that's so powerful that if they're in the movie will just end. Like he'll just solve all the problems.
Yes.
So do you think kind of just get rid of him for a bit.
Green Goblin is a formidable threat for Spider-Man, but for
Doctor Strange, of these guys,
he's not a threat at all.
None of these guys are a match for Doctor Strange. He can handle all.
So first off, he's Charles Xavier by being locked in the mirror dimension.
Yeah.
So that's his first...
Also, don't you think that it's a bit stupid to assume that Doctor Strange can't go through out of the mirror universe without those things on his hand? I feel like he's beyond that.
Yeah.
That you always have to use this I'm pretty sure there was a point in these movies where he doesn't have those rings and
he was the Sorcerer Supreme, so I don't think he needs those rings.
I think those rings, they're like training wheels for like training.
But he can't move his hands.
That's the whole point of the first movie, is that you don't need your hands to get through universes. The guy comes out with no hands and he does it, right? Remember that scene?
You haven't seen it in a while. But he can't move his arm at all.
I think that's the point. It's like, you don't need, it's not about your, no, you don't. You don't, it's, the guy doesn't have a, there's one guy who doesn't have a hand.
He doesn't have a hand, but he still has his arm.
But I think that's the thing is like, the whole point of it is that it's to do with your brain and, or in, it's to do with your spiritual connection or whatever.
But the thing is, he had to be Charles Xavier, otherwise.
I think it was a plot convenience. They had to do it because it's a Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
If Doctor Strange was in it the whole time, he'd just solve all the problems. He'd be,
and the movie would be done in 2 minutes.
They could have. I reckon they could have written something a bit stronger.
I think that's the best they could have written. He's stuck somewhere.
I mean, they could have. There's other stuff going on.
They could have. Yeah. They could have like brought in the multiverse to pluck Doctor Strange and like
have him. There'll be too much going on in this movie if they like. Oh no, there's a multiverse thing happening now as well. It would just distract from the main.
I think.
Yeah.
I reckon they could have done away where they alluded to something ominous going on with Doctor Strange, didn't have to focus on it, and then your end credits, because this movie, as we will discuss later, it opens up, it's like the next connection to Doctor Strange's, Multiverse of Madness, and kind of opens up this whole, what is
the They could multiverse. Have done a thing where he's like, Doctor Strange's like, I need to go address this thing. Like, he doesn't keep it pretty vague. It's like, there's bigger problems.
Well, he gets sucked up by another universe. I mean, it happens, you know.
But the problem is that Doctor Strange has one goal in this movie, to send the bad guys back to their universe.
But
then Tom Holland stops him. Tom Holland takes the box.
Yeah.
As soon as Doctor Strange comes back, he wants to just press the button on the box. He can't be like, "Oh, I'm gonna go away."
But anyone can press that button, right? He set it up so that anyone can press the button, because he tells MJ to press the button.
You guys are forgetting that he's gonna press the button, and then Tom Holland takes it, and that's why they fight.
Yeah, that's right.
So what? They're gonna stop fighting, and then he's gonna be like, "Oh, I'm gonna deal with this thing. Can you press the button?" Even though we just fought about you not pressing the button.
What are you saying? I don't understand what you're saying.
No, but you can still press it. So Tom Holland.
No, but the thing is, he knows Tom Holland's not going to press the button.
No, he will press the button once he cures the villains.
But he doesn't want them to cure the villains.
That's the whole
contention.
But when he comes back, he realizes that there's much more gravity to the situation that's happening at the moment, right?
That's only after he's cured the villains. He only comes back after
when he's
cured
in the process
villains.
Of curing
them. He's already cured like three of them at
but
that point.
But Spider-Man was always going to send them back. He was always going to send them back. He was just going to cure them.
He was going to cure them, but Doctor Strange wanted to send them back straight away.
Yeah, so that's
right. He would have sent them back straight away.
Where's your issue with, like, are you arguing that there's a plot hole, or what are you saying?
No, I'm just saying the way you guys are saying that Doctor Strange could have gone away for
a
different reason.
No, not on purpose.
Wouldn't have made
sense.
No,
not on purpose. What I'm saying is they could have written a way where Doctor Strange gets plucked by the multiverse. Like, he gets like portaled into another universe, and that's why he doesn't exist. But that's not explained.
It would have made sense.
It's not explained until his movie next, where let's say he comes back, he doesn't fully explain what's going on. Then the events as they happen, and then the next movie says, then it's a revelation as to why Doctor Strange is now looking for help in regards to dealing with the multiverse.
It would have made sense, but it also would have distracted from this movie, and you would have been thinking, what's happened to Doctor Strange this whole time? I think, rather than concentrating on this movie.
I don't think that's what I'm saying. Don't fully show what's going on. I think there's ways.
It would be nice if Doctor Strange is here, but it becomes his problem. And he kind of does that anyway. Like, Doctor Strange comes right at the end. Yeah. And he does a little thing right at the end.
And then he's Charles Xavier again. Because, he's Charles Xavier again because he has to stop everyone from coming through.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he could have solved some of the other problems.
But I think they could have probably left Doctor Strange out after that mirror. Like, something else happens after that mirror universe sequence. He ends up having to do something else. He gets sucked in or whatever. He ends up not coming back. And then
it would have had to be something against his will. He can't. It wouldn't. It wouldn't have worked if he's like, "I'm going to go do this."
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I wouldn't say that. Yeah. Doctor Strange decides to go for a picnic.
Yeah,
it's like,
unless the threat is so massive that this is just doesn't matter.
I think it's an. I think it's. I like don't think it wouldn't. My argument would be, you know how. So let's talk about. I think there's.
There's a lot of what if.
There's also a lot of, and we'll talk about Into the Spider-Verse later, but. You know how in Into the Spider-Verse, all the characters not in Miles Morales' universe get sucked into his universe? I think something like that for Doctor Strange, for him getting sucked into another universe, could have been what they're
I understand why you would say that, but I also think that leads to John Watts having to do a lot of collaboration with what's his name?
Sam Raimi.
Yeah. And they would have had to do a lot of back to forth with this movie. Well, and
you know that they're doing a whole bunch of reshoots for Doctor Strange.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. But sometimes it's not practical that you can kind of like, sure. It's got to be its own movie in the end, doesn't it?
And I guess the climax of this movie, how everyone forgets Peter Parker, that probably couldn't have happened without Doctor Strange. No.
I think, I don't think it's the best convenience where he's just locked in the mirror dimension. But they had to do it.
It's fine. It's not the worst thing.
To contain it to just making this a movie within itself without alluding to too much, it does allude to other stuff. But to contain it, I think they had to.
I mean, this was fine. I wasn't, it didn't detract from the movie that much for me. What did detract from the movie a little bit was even more of a convenience where Ned can suddenly do magical powers.
Cop-out. And also at the end of
that, someone to be able to do portals. So it's like, well, it's
and also, when do how does Doctor Strange get stuck in the mirror dimension? So, like, there's this portal that's open. Spider-Man exits it, and then it just closes itself for no fucking reason. Did you notice that it just closes?
Yeah,
and that's another thing. It's like, why does that close?
Is it because he grabs the ring thing?
Or? No, I mean that doesn't like just moving the ring from one place to another doesn't close portals. Yeah. Like, so then portals I was like, that's open very convenient. And close
at their convenience in this movie.
I was like, the fact that this is the reason why he can't exit the mirror dimension is because it conveniently just decides to close is like, oh, come on.
They need to do plot conveniences.
I think the biggest one was Ned, because Doctor Strange has to like do all his training. Like he goes on to like Mount Everest and all that stuff to get his powers.
So I watched a TikTok and I didn't believe this completely, but this guy says that it makes sense that Ned can do the portal
easier than Doctor Strange?
Huh?
Yeah, sorry, go on.
Yeah, so it makes sense that Ned can do the portals faster than Doctor Strange was able to.
I agree.
Because Doctor Strange is a man of science that never believed in magic.
That's what I was going to say.
But Ned always
believed in magic.
Ned grew up in a world where
he was open to it.
Yeah, he grew up in a world where there was fantastical things, where there's Thor and all this stuff. So he's more open-minded than Doctor Strange ever was.
I still don't think it should be that easy, but...
Anyway.
I think that, I think the main part of Doctor Strange's awakening, and I think even Doctor Strange movie could have had a bit more exploration to that, is that, this guy's an arrogant prick that thought that he was at the height of human evolution by being a neurosurgeon. And the fact that he wasn't even close, I think it takes him so long to realize what it actually means and what what they identify spirituality and being the source of supreme and all that stuff means. That's why it takes him a while. Yep. That's why. I keep forgetting what her name is, the Tilda Swinton character, but
the ancient one.
Yeah. That's why she has to like take drastic measures and chuck him onto Everest or whatever to do it, right? Yeah.
But it is a bit. Yeah.
It's like.
And Doctor Strange is meant to be like, she says it. He's the best of them, right?
Yeah, but that's different.
That's after his.
He's going to achieve great things in the future, but I think.
Yeah.
Which I think makes him more interesting.
Once he opens his mind.
The fact that it takes him. It's so hard for his mind to become what it needs to become in order to become Doctor Strange is a good thing, I think. Yeah. He needs to change a lot.
Look, these plot conveniences in a worse film, we would hate it. But because the movie is still good. We can look past it, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I managed to sort of look past it because the stuff that comes afterwards kind of made up for it, but it still remains like, and they never even talk about this like in the previous movies. He's just in this movie. He's like, oh, I got these tingles and suddenly he can do it. So it was definitely a little bit convenient. We can talk about the portals scene. So the scene that everyone wants us to talk about. So Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire coming in. Look, the first time I watched it, I was like, did they really have to get both of them come through a portal? I just felt like that was, yeah, they're both there. They just open a portal and they just happen to both come through a portal. I felt like...
As in you would have want... Maybe wanted maybe Toby to seek them out?
So I think, yeah, something else. Like I feel like both of them come through a portal was just too... It was a bit cheap.
I think the thing was we knew they would be in it. Well, we didn't know, but we had a strong inclination they would be in it.
Yeah.
I think when they wrote it, they were probably thinking... Okay, so he'll be calling for Peter Parker. Then you see someone in a Spider-Man suit, which could be Peter Parker, and he's going to come through, and it's going to be Andrew Garfield, and everyone's going to go crazy.
Yeah.
And then everyone's probably going to think, okay, they'll do another portal, and then Tom Holland will come through. But he's going to do it again, and then it'll be another guy, and it'll be Tobey Maguire, and then people will go crazy. So I think the way they wrote it was like, this is going to get the best fan reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah.
So this is like a fan servicey moment where it's like,
I think
what's the best way to do this to get the biggest reaction?
There could have been like cool ways of doing it where, yeah, you bring in Andrew Garfield and then you tease out that you're going to get a Tobey Maguire. You don't get a Tobey Maguire.
Yeah,
and then
he
rocks up in like a fight.
Yeah.
And then people lose their minds. I would have lost my mind if that
I think
happened.
It would have been funny if it was like Japanese Spider-Man.
And they just send him back. They're like, cool, you get out of here.
Because he only talks Japanese. It's like the mum talking.
What does she
want? That would have actually been funny. Yeah, I just thought they didn't need to do both of them through a portal. I thought that was a little bit, you know, cheap and
contrived.
Yeah. Like if we were writing a story and we didn't really think about it, we would just be like, let's just get them come through a portal. Like that's like the first thing that would come to your mind without any thought. Like, let's just get them come through a portal.
I think one person through a portal is fine.
Yeah.
In the context of Ned discovering he has this portal ability,
I think fine. The Andrew Garfield
I think that was good. That was good.
Yeah.
But once you knew that he was coming, you knew that
Tobey Maguire would be
Tobey Maguire. Yeah. So it kind of...
I think it was a smart... thing to have Tobey Maguire in normal clothes in the
he's just some random guy. Some
youth pastor clothes.
Youth pastor. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's that great line.
That line was hilarious. Let's talk about them.
There's actually one thing we missed, Daredevil.
Oh yeah, we missed that. Daredevil's in it for like 2 seconds. Yeah.
Next.
So a lot of people because a lot of people haven't seen that Netflix show.
Yeah.
So they're like, who's this guy?
There's lots of TikToks that are – this is actually really funny TikTok.
Who the fuck is this guy?
No, but like it's like people that haven't seen Daredevil and they're sitting in the theater and then that scene happens and everyone around them's cheering and then it's the guy in the middle. He's like, yeah. Yeah.
I love this guy.
Yeah.
Well, I watched this with my wife the second time and she's like, who's that?
Yeah,
like, he's a lawyer. Then I had to do a brief explanation because, he says he's a very good lawyer. I like the part where he catches the brick because Spider-Man obviously has spider sense, so he would have probably sensed that coming. But he's like, wait, how did you catch that? Yeah. So that was good.
I feel like they're gonna. I mean, they're bailing on this guy, right? Like the Daredevil stuff, Matthew Murdock. They've kind of. Do you think he's ever going to come back into the?
Yeah.
Is he coming back?
Yeah.
Really?
We could talk about future.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Okay, good.
You've seen Hawkeye episode 5, right? You've seen Hawkeye episode 5?
The most recent one? Not today.
Not today's one.
Correct. Yeah, yeah.
We won't talk about it in this because we could spoil it for people.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy at the moment because the amount of New York / New York villains / New York Christmas references, like, which are the favorite things of mine when it comes to Marvel, are all happening at once in various like Disney Plus and movies and stuff.
Yeah.
So it feels
But I think this was just this was like Daredevil's in this universe and we're gonna
He exists and he's gonna interact.
It might not be the same Daredevil in the Netflix but
it's the same actor.
It's the same actor. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so I thought that was good.
He's in it. Cool.
Yeah. Oh, it might not be the same. Oh, okay.
It might not be the same. Like, it might not be. He hasn't gone through those exact experiences that Daredevil did in the Netflix series.
Yeah.
Because there's some weird shit that happens in those series, like especially the Defenders and stuff like that. So.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any of that crap. I've just seen first and second season Daredevil. arguably the only seasons worth watching.
Third season's good as well.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think all the Daredevil ones are good, but the Defenders and the Iron Fist and stuff aren't that great.
Yeah.
Actually, before we get on to the other Spider-Man, we quickly talk about Aunt May. So Aunt May
dies.
The second time, I appreciate this a bit more. So all those people that complain about this is not like actual Spider-Man because, you know, Tony Stark gave him all the tech and he's not like quintessential Spider-Man, and that he never had the Uncle Ben moment. So what they did with this is they made Aunt May essentially Uncle Ben for this Spider-Man. And what I realized was this whole trilogy is his origin story. So everything he learns throughout this three movies, all the like Infinity War, Endgame, Civil War, and the three movies.
Exactly.
Is his origin story. So now he is Spider-Man that you know from the comics.
But he's gone through these pinnacle key moments in his life to
now reach. He's Spider-Man in college, I think is a good way. Because there is Spider-Man that's in high school in the comics that acts exactly like Tom Holland's Spider-Man acted throughout these movies.
Yeah.
But throughout these three movies, he gains, in each movie, he gains something else to get maturity. Yeah. And then by the end of this one, he is a fully mature, realized Spider-Man that knows what he needs to do.
Well,
and he learns lessons throughout. Yeah.
The whole theme underpinning Spider-Man, like the whole reason he is Spider-Man is the great, with great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah. And I think also the fact that, I think Green Goblin says, I don't think if people really hear him say it as much because he's just screaming at Spider-Man or like saying all this stuff. But he talks about your weakness being your morality while Aunt May says that, the first thing is when Osborn comes up and she's like, the first one is, what's the right thing to do? Like, is it right for you? Is it for right for these guys? It's easy for you to just send these guys into another universe, but this is a person who's troubled and you need to do what you can to fix them.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. And it's related to Osborn, Norman Osborn. Then again, right at the end, as she gets stabbed or whatever by, I think it's good that they made it in a similar way to what happens. There's a reference to him using to his
Green Goblin dice.
Exactly. Using that thing that cuts everyone down.
Yeah.
His hoverboard
thing.
Yeah. Despite the fact she knows she's just been, that Tom or her nephew has been like essentially taken hostage by Green Goblin and then he's killed her and she's aware that she's about to die. I think that's very obvious. And I think the fact that she says, obviously, well, great power. What does she say? She says
great
something.
Great power comes great responsibility.
But she says it differently.
No, she says the exact
one. No, she doesn't.
She says the exact same line.
She doesn't.
Yeah. I think there's an extra.
With great power always comes. No. She says it differently. I swear.
She says the same one.
It's how much you want to bet? How much you want to bet she changes
100% it? She says the same one. Because later, Tobey Maguire says.
Yeah, so that's the point what I'm trying to make is that I think what happens is, I think what that means.
I think she says with great power. So there's a word in there.
She changes it on purpose. I think it's on purpose because they don't want it to. When you change it a little bit, it gets rid of the cliche. But it also means that I think the reference is kind of a hidden reference is that Uncle Ben isn't as big part in Spider-Man's life. But he must have met him at some point. He died. They referenced that in the first movie, I think. But at some point.
But that's not why he becomes Spider-Man.
Exactly.
It's like isolated incidences.
But it's like, I think at some point Uncle Ben would have believed in it. It didn't make a difference to Tom Holland's Spider-Man's life, but it did to Aunt May, right? And she says it. And I think the fact that there's this pervading theme, which is at some point in Spider-Man's life, being the better person or like being moral is the key to why you are Spider-Man. Yeah. It goes across the universes, which is like the take-home point, I think, of all these movies.
I've got a nice meme here that I saw on the internet. I think it's actually quite good. So in Spider-Man Homecoming, he goes from an eager young boy wanting to be an adventurer to Spider-Man Far From Home, where he handles the responsibility of being a hero, to Spider-Man No Way Home, where he realized the true cost and the price to pay for doing the right thing for the greater good.
Yeah, and in Civil War, when he first meets Tony Stark, he actually says something like, you know, if you have power and people get hurt, then it's your fault or something like that. I think he loses that along the way. I think after he gains all these friends and, you know, he's got all these powerful friends and, you know, does all these adventures, I think he kind of loses that a little bit and it comes back to him in this movie.
Yeah, I think that's a good line. It's from Civil War where he's like, if you have the power to do something and people still get hurt, then it's your fault.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or is it, if you have the power to do something, you do nothing and people get hurt, then it's
Yeah. It's your fault. And it kind of comes back to that in this because, you know, he can help these people, but he's initially he's choosing not to. He's like, it's not my problem.
It's more, exactly. Yeah. And it's more convenient.
So, yeah, anyone who says that line dies.
Also, skipping forward a little bit, when the three Spider-Men meet and then he's like, before Aunt May died, she said this. And then Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield both finish the line. They said, with great power comes great responsibility. And they're like, how do you know that? It's like Uncle Ben said it. But Andrew Garfield's my man. Uncle Ben did not say that. Yeah, he said some other shit.
No, but so Andrew Garfield, I watched this in deep. Like, I wanted to just watch this scene. He doesn't complete the quote, but he agrees with them.
Okay, so he doesn't complete it.
He doesn't complete the quote, but he says that's what Uncle Ben said. And then Tobey Maguire said he died.
Yeah. He says something about Aunt May, doesn't he?
No, he said that's what Uncle Ben said, and then Tobey Maguire said the night he died.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, I guess I could pass that because he says something similar to that. He says it in a very long-winded way. Yeah, like, he says some shit like that, but longer.
So there's that scene with the two Spider-Mans that come through the portals, right? And then they go and meet Peter on top of that, the roof. Is it on top of school? What is this?
School. It's a school roof.
Yeah, school roof. I think the best imagery in this movie is when you look up at the dark building and it's like Andrew Garfield in, silhouettes. I'm like,
and you see
this
the moon.
Is fucking cool.
So this is like,
oh, that's so cool. And they just do it for 1 second. I'm like, oh,
so
no.
You see them, you see the silhouettes, you see the moon in the background. You don't see their faces. It's just like,
and you see them like go from a crouching position to up and then they jump down.
Yeah. It's great. It's, something that was seen in like Batman vs Superman or something. They did it with Batman. It works with Batman because you always seem like that, but it was cool.
Yeah. It's a very cool thing. Yeah. It also reminds me of Into the Spider-Verse with like Spider-Man Noir.
Yeah.
Like his stupid.
Before we get on to the two Spider-Man, there's one thing I wanted to mention, which was they actually addressed the I'm a scientist myself.
Meme. Yeah, the meme. Yeah. I'm somewhat of a scientist myself.
That's what Norman says. So he says it in Spider-Man 1. And in Spider-Man, it's just like a line. Like,
you know the meme, yeah? Everyone uses this meme.
I think I do.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah.
Wherever, the meme, for people that don't know it, it's used as a kind of a funny thing that you put after you do something moderately smart. So if you do anything moderately smart, then you say that afterwards. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they could resist putting that line in. Like, it's just
that's where this movie does a lot of fan service, where it's got those type of memes. And there's another scene where it's very fan servicey. Before this movie came out and everyone thought the Spider-Man would be in it, they're like, I hope there's a scene where they talk about their web shooters.
Yeah.
And they talk about Tobey Maguire having organic web shooters.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where they discuss it, essentially. So everything that everyone wanted and that I saw online, they're like, I hope they do this. It was in the movie. Yeah.
Yeah. So it feels, I mean, it's good and bad. But
it's also like, how could they not discuss that? Right?
Yeah, that's pretty obvious because that's like so different.
You see another Spider-Man and you see him making his own webs.
Yeah, it's so different. So they obviously had to address that. But I feel like everything that was meant to be a surprise in this movie was not, because we kind of, in the back of my mind,
everyone sort of wanted it.
So like we thought they would be in it. We thought, you know, that all the villains would be in it. Like everything that we thought would happen, even Daredevil was in it.
Yeah.
Did you guys expect that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, so like all the speculation kind of became true. So the only, and it's just the times we live in, but imagine this came out like 20 years ago when there was like hardly any internet stuff. Like your mind would have been blown if this happened. Like it would have been amazing.
You know what I think they should have done in the trailers, but I guess you can't do this if you want people to get excited about this movie, is they should have introduced, they should have had Doc Ock, Green Goblin, whatever, but not had the faces of the actors being shown. Therefore, you thought that, Spider-Man is just going to meet the Doc Ock of his universe, and that this movie was just going to be about these new villains that you know but are part of this universe. Then when you watch the movie, you realize it's a multiverse thing.
I think,
and therefore you wouldn't expect Spider-Man, right? You don't expect Spider-Man. The only reason we thought Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire were going to rock up is because we saw the Doc Ock actor, I forgot what his name is. And
Alfred Molina. Yeah.
But I think you got to ride the line of, we want to surprise people in the cinema, but we also want to get people excited and get people in the seats. So as a business, I can see why they do what they do.
Okay, so on the Spider-Man, so we can talk about Andrew Garfield first. Yeah. So I thought he was really good in this. So he firstly brings like a comedic touch to his character. And then he's also got like pretty dramatic moments as well that he brings.
Like key dramatic moments.
Yeah.
Well, everyone liked it so much that
they want him Alfred, back.
The Amazing Spider-Man 3 is trending on Twitter at the moment. So I have a few thoughts about that.
It's a big redemption, isn't it? Like being in this movie for him.
Well, I never thought he was actually that bad. Neither it's just his movies weren't that good.
I have a few thoughts about the Amazing
Spider-Man. His movie shit.
Yeah, I have a few thoughts about that, but we can talk about it after we... But he's hilarious in this, and he's definitely the one that steals the show in every scene he's in. He's funny, and he's kind of a loser, which he would be. Like, in this universe, he's a kind of a loser. And he's definitely the worst Spider-Man out of both of them, because Tom Holland's got all this tech, and he's worked with the Avengers and stuff like that. Andrew Garfield's been doing it for years. Tobey Maguire, sorry. Yeah. And then this guy's just a bit of a loser.
Yeah. Well, and he talks about, like, he's got a pretty serious moment where he talks about how he stopped pulling his punches.
Yeah.
And then he talks about how he's rage-filled and he's essentially Batman. He's Ben Affleck Batman, which was an interesting turn to take.
So once again, I think there's some big references to Into the Spider-Verse in that, not like the Miles Morales part, but you know how there's two different Spider-Man, there's two different types of, there's Peter Parker and Peter B. Parker. Peter B. Parker is the loser Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Where things haven't gotten right yet. Yeah. But Peter Parker is the guy who's gotten over, his life has gone on and he's doing things. And I think
that does it better, but this kind of does a little bit of that with,
I feel like Andrew Garfield is at the stage where he's like one of those characters, but he's like this dark turn. He's gotten through this period of where he has no meaning in his life and he's still trying to figure it out. I feel like he's not there yet.
Yeah.
And then Tobey Maguire's come through and he's much, I feel like they've also tried to make him older.
It's been years, maybe even
a decade. Like actually what the movie, since how long has it been? It's been 20 years since that movie, right? Or whatever. He was saying we eventually got there with MJ and things eventually worked out. So he's been through the run and so it's kind of like he's getting the advice of another Spider-Man to get him through that hump. And so I think there's a lot of like cool things that aren't specifically mentioned that you kind of get from this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Toby's more of like the mentor because he's kind of been through everything. He's seen the worst of it and
should have even aged him up a little bit more. I think it would have been really cool.
Is that how he looks now?
Yeah. That's just him now.
Yeah. I reckon they should have given him like a beard or something and just like, or like a bit more, just make him a bit older.
Yeah.
Make him be like, you know, this guy has been through the works, but he's still Spider-Man.
So interesting. This is his first movie since 2014. So he hasn't been acting.
Is that the Leonardo DiCaprio movie? That's
Boss Baby was his last movie. He did the voice.
But in terms of live action, his last live action movie was 2014.
Great Gatsby?
Was
it 2014?
Yeah.
It might have even been before that, but I think his last acting role was 7 years ago.
Do you guys want a little side story about Tobey Maguire's personal life?
He's not a very nice guy, right?
So I don't know if you guys ever seen Molly's Game. So after he did Spider-Man, he got so much money that he didn't really need to act. And I don't think he ever really wanted to act again. So he did Spider-Man and then he had all this money and he's a poker player. He's a pretty good poker player. So he used to go to underground poker matches with unlimited bets, high stakes. And rumored, there's this book called Molly's Game, where this chick used to run underground poker games in LA for like Hollywood elite.
There's a movie as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And essentially, Tobey Maguire was a mainstay at these games. And from her book, what she says is that he used to come to the games and he used to be really good and like make people steal all their money. And then one night she asks him, it's like, do you like playing poker? He's like, nah, I hate playing poker. I just like ruining people's lives.
This guy's like gone from hero to villain.
Yeah. So apparently he's not a great bloke. And then if you watch Molly's Game, essentially he gets jealous of this chick and then makes her not have a business as well. And then he calls her and he says, fuck you or whatever. So like he's apparently not a great bloke. But he's good at poker.
How substantiated are these rumors?
He definitely did the poker because there was a court case and his name was in the in the thing. But
the issue isn't that he played poker.
And the book, it's all said in the book. with his name. Interesting. So it's a bit whether this chick was saying the truth or not, but essentially it's widely said that
he's got a reputation for being a dick as an actor.
In the initial Spider-Man movies before he was famous, I think it was normal. I think after he became famous, he was not a nice guy.
Well, yeah. I don't think he's like I think there's like Jared Leto is probably worse, but he's like, I don't think he's the nicest guy to work with. I think he's like an Edward Norton.
Yo, he's an asshole to work with, isn't he?
I think he's like Edward Norton, yeah.
Okay, so he's an asshole.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, except I guess Edward Norton, just because he's just an amazing actor, I think he gets a pass, but I think Tobey Maguire's not on the same level as him.
Yeah, yeah. And saying that, Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man is okay in this, but in terms of charisma compared to Tom Holland and Andrew Garfield, he's definitely lacking.
Yeah,
and
I think they wrote his character to be more like mellow and
I think it works in this movie, and it works based off his character in the previous movies. But if that was just a random Spider-Man, I think people would have thought he was not great.
Yeah. I think compared to Andrew Garfield, he was fine, but Andrew Garfield.
But I also don't think that he's even in the original Spider-Man movies. His character wasn't as uppity as Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man.
It wasn't, yeah. No. Yep.
Andrew Garfield had way more banter going on in his movies,
His character's consistent with what he was in the previous movies.
And they have some good scenes between the Peters. So there's one scene in the science lab, I think, where they're creating cures, and there was a bit of humor there. There was a bit of emotion there as well because, firstly, Andrew Garfield, he has a flashback to Gwen and when he sees MJ and Peter talking, and then there's also that moment where Ned asks Toby about if he had a best friend, and then he's like, I did. And then what does he say? He like turned against me and he died in my hands or something.
Died trying to kill me.
They both happened to – well, Toby says that, yeah. But I guess Andrew Garfield's best friend tried to do that to him as well.
Does he? He doesn't die though, right? Does he die in that movie?
He does, doesn't he?
I can't remember.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah.
We even did a commentary on that.
Yeah, yeah. I think he dies.
No, Dusty.
So not memorable that you don't even know.
I can't remember if he, because he sure obviously he Gwen Stacy dies.
Yeah.
What happens after that?
I think he kills him.
Does he? I can't remember. Yeah. Anyway, what I liked was that they kind of retrospectively made those movies slightly better, especially the Andrew Garfield ones. I'm like,
they do.
I might actually watch those again because this happened. Maybe I'll give them another chance.
They do. I think the villains reference their movies a lot, like how they got their powers and kind of like poke fun at.
Yeah, falling in the vat of eels. Yeah.
And like.
Does he say something about.
You got to watch where you fall.
Got to watch where you
fall.
And
especially the lizard, like the plot of the first Amazing Spider-Man, they make a lot of fun of it.
Yeah.
And it is a stupid plot. Because Electro's like, why do you want to make everyone lizards, man? And it's like real. Like, why did he want to make everyone lizards?
Then he's like, I can give you a makeover.
So I can give you a real makeover. It's like, let me guess. You make me into a lizard?
Yeah. I thought it was.
The best line is when Electro's in Happy's apartment, and then Sandman is like, he's like, oh yeah, I really like this place. He's like, what, in this apartment? And then he's like,
it's open space.
Yeah, yeah. Like, open plan. No.
I think Jamie Foxx was, that was really good that they got the actors. They're actually, all of them are great actors, like Willem Dafoe, Alfred Molina, Jamie Foxx. They're all like,
I think Willem Dafoe steals the show because he's just absolutely insane and crazy. And his face is just, it's Green Goblin. His face is Green Goblin.
He can morph his face quite a bit.
Yeah. One bit of trivia. So you know when he is Green Goblin, that's his actual teeth. And when he's Norman Osborn, they put in fake teeth.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So he's got some pretty crazy teeth.
And they actually make him, as he kills Aunt May, he's really thick under the coat and everything. He looks like Green Goblin. He looks like he's a goblin underneath it.
Yeah.
Whereas before, he's like slowly gathering these clothes that eventually give him that hood. And
I think it's a good idea they did away with the mask.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of liked it for like nostalgia. I was like, it was kind of good to see it. But it was good that we saw it. But we also transitioned to something else. Yeah.
He was by far the best villain is him.
Yeah.
He gets the most development as well, I think.
And he's also Spider-Man's arch nemesis. So there was always this feeling that Tom Holland Spider-Man never, till now, he never met Green Goblin. And he may not after this either.
But at least, it's definitely his arch nemesis now because he killed Aunt May.
He's made a lasting impact on his life, essentially. Yeah. So he's always going to remember Green Goblin.
I find it interesting that we now have a villain from the first Spider-Man movie ever made that has become like the arch nemesis of the third Spider-Man in his third movie. Yeah. That's very interesting.
And I still think from that original trilogy, he was still probably the best part. Like, Tobey Maguire's good and all, but Willem Dafoe
was
amazing.
He was amazing in this and in the previous. Yeah.
I still feel like his explosion balls or whatever are fucking OP. They're like really OP. The fact that they caught Doctor Strange off guard by putting it in that box thing and blowing up.
I think he's just like this guy that's just like, he doesn't give a fuck. He just does whatever. And like,
he just flies by bombing highways. Yeah.
He doesn't care who he kills. He doesn't care if he dies. He'll just do whatever. He's basically the Joker.
And he's also super strong. Like, Spider-Man can fight Bucky, if you remember, in Civil War.
Yeah.
So this guy is super strong.
He's formidable.
Yeah, they are like, they're literally in that fight in the apartment. His apartment complex is fucked.
Yeah.
Right? They're doing these WWE moves where they're slamming him through levels of floors. I'm like, holy crap.
I feel like Tom Holland in that fight, he's like, I fought some guys, but this guy's fucked.
Yeah. Not only that, I tried to save this bastard the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's good that they brought in Feast. Did they really reference?
It was in the second one.
It was in the second one.
Yeah. In the start.
Yeah,
the very start. And you kind of like go out, like but they really emphasize it this time because the camera spans to Feast when he comes to see Norman Osborn for the first time.
And even the bag that they keep all the cures in, it's in the Feast bag.
On purpose.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah.
As a reminder that you got to cure these people, you know.
Yeah.
That's what Aunt May's saying. We've done a lot of talking around plot points.
we kind of jumped around a bit, but I think we're pretty much. Other thing I wanted to mention. So, out of the villains, I would say obviously Green Goblin is the best one. I think Doc Ock was very good. So, I think, Sandman, he was there for a reason because obviously he knew that Doc Ock and Green Goblin died in the hands of Spider-Man. So, he could communicate that to them. Lizard, I don't know.
He was also like a bit of a nerf to Electro.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the only. Yeah. Whereas, I don't think they could have contained Electro, right? That guy was going mental.
Yeah. I think they picked the best villain from each movie. That's what they went for. The best villain in each movie, and they would bring them through.
Yeah.
It's five movies. Pick the best
Venom
one.
Venom was the best villain in the third movie, though.
No, it wasn't Venom. Nah. Shit.
Venom in that movie, do you think that had a good villain? Like,
out of the three?
I don't think Sandman was even a villain.
He wasn't even a villain in that movie.
Yeah, he tends. It wasn't even that bad, but.
Out of the three, all the three villains are not great.
Because they wouldn't have brought back another Green Goblin, so they're not going to do that.
And he's not a great character.
And they're not going to bring back Venom for this because probably they want to do other stuff with Venom later. Yeah. So they had no choice.
They had to bring one from each movie. So
I thought the scene when Peter Parker discovers Electro for the first time is a really cool scene.
Yeah, that was cool.
Very ominous. For an Electro scene, I was like, I would expect a more worrying villain than Electro in a scene like that. You know how like Electro just comes out of the darkness in the background? And he's got this black suit on. He's trying to like, you know that scene that I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, he's just blue. He's initially blue. Yeah.
Huh?
He's initially like, he looks like he was in Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah,
initially.
And he just forms. Yeah. I was like, this is a lot for Electro of all people.
I like that scene, Electro is like attracted to this world because Iron Man created all this like awesome electric tech. So. The world is probably
arc reactors.
Arc reactors.
And he's also not like a loser in this world. He looks different and stuff as well. So he's like, in that scene, the Electro scene, I don't know if you noticed, but you can see Sandman in the background. You can see Sand like flying around in the background. So what Peter actually sees first is Sandman. He actually doesn't see, Electro. This Electro is behind him.
It is Sandman that's going.
He actually sees Sandman. Yeah. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, I thought Sandman, I mean, he doesn't do that much. The reason he turns, because initially he's kind of good, like he's kind of on Peter's side, and then he turns bad, and then.
He's just he wants Peter to activate it ASAP.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to write, which I think is actually a pretty interesting. It's not bad because it means that there's different opposing motivations for a lot of these villains.
But then he's kind of befriends Electro and kind of like. Starts believing what Electro is saying as well. So I don't know.
No, but then Electro at the end is like, nah, I don't want to I don't want to go to the other universe. And Sandman at the end is like, we need to press this thing. Like, give me the cube or whatever.
Lizard. We'll just quickly talk about Lizard. I thought he Lizard. He has a couple of good, like, he's got some good comedic lines. Firstly, no one knows that he talks, and he starts talking. He's like, wait, this guy, the dinosaur can talk. He says one thing which I found, like, was funny, but it didn't really make much sense. It's like, she can't be his girlfriend. She's definitely not his girlfriend. I'm like,
yeah, that was a weird line. I don't know what to make of that. Yeah. No way that's his girlfriend. Yeah. No way.
He's got like a pedophile.
yeah, it's very weird.
Yeah. Like a 50-year-old man writing this, a 17-year-old chick.
And I'm pretty sure that actor was probably not in the movie.
Okay, so there's two scenes that they're directly taken from two other movies. So the scene where Sandman becomes normal Sandman and the scene where
Lizard becomes
Lizard, yeah. They're directly taken from
the
respective movies. So those actors were never in this movie. They just did the voiceover.
Voices. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Why not? Why wouldn't you just get them?
I think probably time, schedules.
All right. So we're at the end of the movie. There's a big fight. There's a team-up fight between all the Spider-Men. There was a couple of good scenes in there where it cracks his back and then they have an exchange about him being in the Avengers and they don't know who the Avengers are, which is pretty funny.
And also the fact that Andrew Garfield, Spider-Man, keeps like down-talking himself.
Yeah. That was,
and so they're trying to pep him up because everyone shits on his movies and they kind of... So that was a good self-referential thing.
Yeah, there was a part where they talk about the villains that they fought and it's like, I fought a mad Russian guy in a metal suit.
Who's rocking up through the multiverse by the end, right?
Rhino, yeah. So, that was pretty funny.
Where was he in that movie?
Right at the end.
And at the start.
Yeah.
Yeah, not in the suit at the start, but...
Yeah, so I thought the fight was okay.
I thought it was pretty good.
It was all right.
It was like...
it wasn't amazing. I wasn't blown away by it, but it was okay.
Yeah.
And obviously, our Peter, so Tom Holland, Peter Parker, is still rage-filled in terms of he wants to kill Green Goblin, and then Tobey Maguire interferes.
Talks him down. Yeah.
Well, he doesn't even talk him. He just looks at him. Yeah. But I thought
he stops him from stabbing him as well.
And then he gives him a glare. I thought the part where Green Goblin stabs Tobey Maguire was maybe a little bit unnecessary.
Initially, this is the rumor. Initially, apparently they wanted to kill Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man, and he would have died in that scene. He would have got stabbed and that would have been the end of his story.
Hmm.
But apparently Kevin Feige wants to bring back the character at some point for a future Marvel project, so they didn't kill him, essentially.
So maybe they're going to have like a...
I think it's smart not to kill him. Leave it open. If you can do some cool stuff in the future, keep that. Tobey Maguire's a good asset to have.
No one except Aunt May dies in this movie.
Yeah.
So
Aunt May was becoming useless anyway, so it's fine.
They think they're going to bring him back for Secret Wars, essentially.
Secret Wars, okay.
I don't want to know it.
All the other... people that know Spider-Man from all the other universes start coming out. So Doctor Strange comes back because it comes through a portal or something, right? Like he comes through the... Ned opens up a portal.
Ned tries to open up a portal and then Doctor Strange comes through.
Which means Ned can open to the mirror dimension now?
this guy's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, I think he was just trying to go wherever and he's just like, oh.
And he couldn't close the portal either. So.
No, yeah.
Everyone returns back to their universes. So Peter makes a sacrifice saying that everyone, so this is, I'm not sure why he asked for this, because the initial spell was people don't know that he's Spider-Man, but people who know him as Peter will still continue to know him as Peter Parker. It's not like they completely forget who he is. But what he asked for at the end is literally just everyone forgets who he is. Like no one knows who he is.
Because everyone that knows that Peter Parker is Spider-Man are coming through. So if you take away the Peter Parker part of it, then... they won't come through. So everyone forgets who Peter Parker is.
Yeah.
So no one can come through.
It's nothing to do with Spider-Man anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People still know what happened with Spider-Man. Everything has happened with Spider-Man. And so therefore, so the villains don't have a thing anymore. There's no connection to villains.
No one can know who Peter Parker is anymore. So, and also, it's the best way to wipe the slate clean so that he can't ask Pepper or Happy for anything.
Mm.
He can't go to the Avengers for favors and stuff. He's by himself now, essentially.
Well, they don't know that he's
Spider-Man. He's Peter Parker.
Well, they don't know he's Peter Parker and they don't know he's Spider-Man.
They know Spider-Man exists in the universe.
Yeah, that's right. They know that there is a Spider-Man.
So every time they had every time they had a scene or they knew Spider-Man, it's just Spider-Man.
Mask on.
Mask on. Yeah.
Which is, yeah.
I think it'll be interesting. I'm sure that if there is ever an interaction with someone magical, like, I think if when you start approaching magical or magicians like Doctor Strange and maybe Wanda, if Spider-Man and them ever interact, I reckon there's a way where they will be able to undo that spell.
Yeah. Like, but I think now,
it's good.
Now the fact that he can't approach them anymore, he's by himself. Yeah. Which makes it interesting.
Also, I feel like that by finally saying that to Doctor Strange, I think Doctor Strange, there's like this understanding that this kid isn't a fuckboy anymore. Like,
I think Doctor Strange respects him. Yeah. He's like, this kid wants everything. That's a Doctor Strange says it at one point. He's like, you can't have everything. You need to make sacrifices. Yeah. So, but now he's finally willing to make the sacrifice.
I also don't agree with Doctor Strange saying the issue with you is you're leading two lives. I don't necessarily agree with the fact that that's a fault. I think that's probably the best way, right? Like, doesn't this movie prove the fact that it's the best way to lead your life is to separate Peter Parker from Spider-Man? Therefore, you can protect the ones who are worth protecting and are innocent from these dangerous activities.
I think the thing he's saying is that once you're outed, you can't live two lives anymore. You
can't ask for both.
Yeah, you can't be both. Yeah. You got to Iron Man it. You just got to own it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is weird. In this universe, everyone knows everyone's identity. So it's weird that it was such a big deal.
I guess he couldn't handle
it. He couldn't handle
it. He couldn't handle it.
But I guess sudden revelations, it's fair enough. It's a sudden revelation that he's Peter Parker and the fact that he's been accused of murder.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's...
It's like this whole big thing. At the time where they're trying to get into university, it's like it's a big part in their lives that's gone to shit. So,
but everyone else knows who everyone... Everyone knows that Dr. Stephen Strange is a wizard, essentially.
Yeah, but he's also like, this guy doesn't have much public interaction.
I don't think... Dr. Strange is like publicly known. Like, the Avengers know, but it's not like they're not going to make a musical play about him.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Do they know where
he... make one about Spider-Man? What's going on?
No, but like Rogers, the musical. Like America.
There's a little billboard of Rogers, the musical in this movie. So I think we're basically at the end. So it's going to be...
So who are the characters you found that were trying to break through? So at the end when Doctor Strange is trying to...
I think it's only three that globally people have
realized. Scorpion, Rhino...
Scorpion, Rhino, Kraven. And Kraven the Hunter.
Yeah.
That was it.
Kraven
yeah.
the Hunter. Is that the guy with the spear?
Yeah.
I couldn't really recognize anyone. I thought it was a cool scene, seeing those guys come, like, trying to get through, or like there at least.
Also, the only thing I'll say about people wanting Spider-Man, the Amazing Spider-Man 3, Sony makes shit movies, so I don't want them to make Amazing Spider-Man 3 because it'll probably be shit. If it's a Marvel, if it's with MCU, then yes. But if it's a Sony one, it's just going to be Venom, Let There Be Carnage or some shit.
You know what
like
they should
that.
Do?
Yeah.
They should do Miles Morales in Tom Holland's universe, opening up universes that brings in Andrew Garfield as a Spider-Man, as an older Spider-Man that essentially does what Peter B. Parker did for Into the Spider-Verse. But I don't want another Into the Spider-Verse movie because
I only want
I don't think they'll do another like Spider-Verse type thing, but Miles Morales is, I think he is in this universe.
Yeah.
He exists.
Was it Into the Spider-Verse? Are we going to talk about that? The next trailer came out, right?
What
next
about?
For the next movie.
I mean,
have you already spoken about
it? No, we haven't, but it looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool, done. All right.
But I don't want to watch any Sony Spider-Man movies unless they're MCU or they're animated. Otherwise, like, they've all been shit. There's no reason to believe that they can make a good movie without Kevin Feige's intervention.
So Morbius, which is another movie coming out.
It'll be trash.
So I don't know anything about that character. He looks interesting, but it's also a massive, I guess it's a massive fuck you to DC for bailing on him as Joker, is it? Right?
No, I think, I think it's just another movie that he's doing, but it's...
The trailer was shit.
Well, we'll see what happens, because these movies, I don't think Morbius is that popular of a character. He's not a Venom.
Well, I don't know who the hell he is.
So he's not a Venom. So I think it won't do as well as Venom, even though Venom wasn't even that good. But people watched it, so...
The reality of it is Sony hasn't made a good Spider-Man universe movie
since
Spider-Man 2. Yeah, which was 2004. So in basically 20 years, they haven't made a good movie without the intervention of Kevin Feige. So if people think that suddenly they've found their wits and if they make The Amazing Spider-Man 3, it will be good, they're probably kidding themselves.
All right. We'll talk about the last. We've already talked about the Venom post-credits scene. We'll quickly talk about Doctor Strange. So there was a lot of stuff in this trailer. So it was a trailer. It wasn't a post-credits scene. So the last time they did something like this was Captain America, the First Avenger, where they had a trailer for The Avengers at the end of that movie. So a couple of things I noticed in the trailer. So one was you see Captain Carter. I don't think you – did you notice that?
No, I've only seen it once. So
Captain Carter, you see the back of her back with the star. So you see Captain – I'm pretty sure that was Captain Carter.
A lot of what-if references.
Obviously, you see evil Doctor Strange right at the end, which is very interesting.
From what-if?
What-if?
Yeah. Other stuff, like there's a lot happening. Obviously, Wanda is going to play a pretty prominent role.
Significant role. Scarlet Witch. Yeah.
And he asks her about the multiverse because she's been doing some multiverse stuff with her kids and that, right? So maybe she knows more about it than him. And other people that are in that movie, so Chiwetel Ejiofor is back as Baron – what's his name? Baron Mordor. Yeah, he's back. And Wong's obviously going to be in it. And Loki is confirmed to be in it.
Nice.
A lot happening in that movie.
Another character that's in the trailer, America Chavez. You see her in the trailer.
Who is?
She's a new character, but in the movie. She's in the comics, but it makes sense.
Is that the name of a movie? Character?
America Chavez is her name.
Is that her name?
Yeah. Okay.
Not the actor's name.
The character's name is America Chavez.
Yeah.
She can open up portals into other universes is her superpower.
Isn't there an X-Men that does that?
No.
There's an X-Men that opens up portals. Yes. Maybe not into other universes.
Yeah, but it's Kitty Pryde.
What about magic? Magic does some portal stuff.
She could just open up the portal into that universe with the dragon.
Okay.
Have you seen New Mutants?
Don't.
Yeah. It's not great. Yeah. Who's magic? Is it what's her name?
Anya Taylor-Joy.
That's one, yeah.
Yeah.
And the other person I think you see is Shuma Gorath, who everyone's going to say is the big octopus. Villain in this movie. Yeah.
The octopus? Yeah. Yeah.
It's like the eye and the octopus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the question is, where's Mephisto?
I don't think Mephisto is the big villain. I think Shuma Gorath is the big villain / evil Doctor Strange.
I think it's probably evil Doctor Strange it'd be good to see. Benedict Cumberbatch, obviously, he's great as Doctor Strange, but he's also like really good at playing villains. So it'd be good to see
The Hobbit.
I think you're thinking more that other movie.
Star Trek.
Anyway, they're doing reshoots, extensive reshoots at the moment, six weeks. The rumor is they're adding a lot of cameos. So people are ready for some crazy shit. I've heard like rumors of variations of many characters.
So potentially Fox characters. So X-Men, you could see Hugh Jackman potentially.
People are saying Chris Evans is playing two different characters. So possibly
Cap and
Human Torch.
Human Torch, yeah.
Yeah. Iron Man variants, apparently.
Okay.
Yeah.
RDJ's probably not coming back. They can't afford that.
My hope is that they do, what's that guy in Iron Man 2?
The villain.
Whiplash.
Nah, not Whiplash. The other dude.
Sam Rockwell.
Yeah, Sam Rockwell's character.
Yeah.
He's going to be Iron Man.
I hope they do a universe where he's Iron Man and it's just shit.
It's just really bad.
Yeah, it's just really bad.
He doesn't do anything for the world. He's just working with the Taliban the whole time.
Is there anything else?
Nah.
Look great. And you can tell, like, just the way that movie is filmed, it's so different to the way this, like, it felt like a completely different, it is a different movie, but it felt shot very differently.
I feel like as soon as you bring in Doctor Strange stuff, the way they shoot things is like
so different. Yeah.
Scale is different. As soon as they even have that fight scene in Spider-Man where they enter the mirror dimension, everything's off. It's like Inception. It's like all that stuff. You're just flipping well. It's very cool.
He's such a cool character. I his movie, I'm not a big fan of. The first Doctor Strange
movie. It's not a great movie, unfortunately.
But I've always rated it more than you guys.
And it's good, but it's not like...
It's quite generic, unfortunately.
I think the best of him was probably Infinity War. And it was good in this movie as well. But I think the next one's going to be great. And I might be in his hometown, New York, when that movie comes out. So
you might be?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Go to corner of Bleecker and...
That's where it is, right?
Yeah. That's where my Airbnb was before the movie came out. I never realized, and then like went back there. It's very cool.
Yeah.
It's just Greenwich Village, right? So every time it always has a mood. Greenwich Village always has this particular mood. It's a very calm, very chill place.
It's a bit more, I mean, all of New York, all of Manhattan's like affluent, but that's like a nicer part of town.
Yeah, right? And you yeah. have like New York University is there, Washington, the Washington State Park or whatever it's called. But it's also where Spider-Man's, that's where they set his, what do they call it? Empire State University, ESU, which is where Spider-Man tends to go to university in
yeah.
a lot of the comics and in the game he does. That's in like Greenwich Village, just their replacement for NYU. So it's like, there's a lot of references to, yeah, just things mm-hmm. around Greenwich Village.
So that's
He'll probably go to college in a New York.
Yeah, he won't be going to MIT.
He won't be going to MIT in Boston.
Doctor Strange 2, directed by Sam Raimi. So he's coming back after many, many years to direct a Marvel movie. And then the John Watts, who directed this movie, is directing Fantastic Four, the eventual Fantastic Four movie that comes out.
I didn't know they were doing another one.
Yeah, they announced it and they announced him as a director. So he's not going to be it?
The people, like Miles Teller and shit?
No. They haven't announced the cast yet. So we'll find out who the cast is. Man, but everyone
really trying, huh? It's like the third time.
Well, this is going to be MCU. This is going to be Kevin Feige led. Okay. So we'll see how that goes. But everyone's gunning for, obviously, John Krasinski for years. To be Mr. Fantastic.
I am a huge fan of John Krasinski. So, and have you guys seen Jack Ryan, the Amazon one?
No.
I've seen some scenes in Telugu.
The fuck? Why? Why would you do that to yourself?
You got to watch him to know.
He's freaking ripped.
Oh, is he? Yeah. Yeah.
He's bloody ripped. I was like, holy shit.
So if there's nothing else on this movie, it's been a long episode, so we'll probably... Yep. Wrap it up. So if people want to get in touch with us about Spider-Man No Way Home, how do they go about it?
So contact us on all platforms at Cognitive Recalibration or send us an email at cognitiverecalibrationpodcast@gmail.com.
Cool. And if you want to support the podcast, as we said earlier in the episode, if you listen to us on Spotify, you can give us a rating. If you listen to us on iTunes, give us a rating on that as well because it makes us more discoverable on their search engines.
Yeah.
All right. So next episode we're doing a Christmas episode and we've got a whole bunch of other stuff we've got to talk about. So
Home Alone 4?
Home Alone 4. Okay.
That one that's playing on your TV right now.
I don't think that's 4. That's
like 6 or something?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Okay. There is a 4. Like
I saw Home Alone 3. That was shit.
Yeah.
There's a 3. There's a
4. And I think there's a 5 as well.
I think there's a 5. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. 4 and 5 were straight to TV.
straight to DVD when people stopped having DVD players.
So, yeah, we've got that, and then we've got Matrix and all the other stuff that's coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think we might need to skip Ghostbusters. We either skip Ghostbusters or we skip The Kingsman.
We're doing Hawkeye?
Oh, yeah, we got Hawkeye. So, Hawkeye
next
will actually be – so, next is Christmas on Christmas Day, and then it will be Hawkeye. So, we'll be
– Oh, so you're not doing Hawkeye as a Christmas thing?
I mean,
It's part of the Christmas episode.
We could. Well, we'll have to devote the whole episode for it, but yeah, we could.
I'll come back.
Yeah. So we're going to leave now and watch the Hawkeye finale. So that's what we have planned next. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Hope you're all staying safe and stay tuned for more episodes.
Cool. Get boosted up, bitches. Oh, yeah,
and thanks to Curity for joining. I forgot to.
Fuck you. I'm never coming back. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right.
Reach out to us on cog.reco.com.
Okay. See you guys. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.